Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all today, all your smiling faces on this glory of July morning. Thank you, Lord. Ready for the Word of God? Ready for it to be sown into your hearts? Are your hearts good ground, ready to receive and have a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold return? Amen. Me too. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We rejoice in your presence, Heavenly Father, for you are good and your goodness has been given to us, Lord. Father, I thank you that you love us always, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, Father, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. You deserve it all. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good and worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, get them out. I'd really like you today to look in your own Bible. If you have a Bible, I ask you, go get it, open it up, and look at these verses yourself. Because I believe that if your eyes see these verses, it'll go into your heart much better than if you just hear what I say, because it's easier to forget what you hear than it is to forget what you see. Amen? So if you can hear it and see it for yourself, that's twice as much to get it into your heart. Now, a lot of this stuff I'm going to be sharing, you've probably read it before, but I tell you what, I think it doesn't hurt one bit to be reminded of the things that the Bible says. Not one bit, because we can't remember all of it all the time. So it's good to just go on a journey and look at some things and be reminded of them. Amen? Amen. So today what I want to talk about is, let's just read our verses and then we will expound. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is healing school, right? Yes, it is. It's healing school. So in healing school, we're here for three reasons. One, because the Holy Spirit's leading us to be here. Two, because we need healing in our body. Or three, you could be here for one and two and three. You would like to be successful in laying hands on people and praying for others and seeing them get healed. So we're going to talk about some things. Last week, or the last time I taught, we talked about the authority of God, that God has given us authority, that if what we were doing isn't working and we still need results, then we need to do something different than we've been doing. And we need to take some aggressive authority against whatever the sickness is, the pain is, whatever the devil's putting on us, whatever the world is trying to impose on us. We need to be more militant and aggressive towards it and relentless until it obeys us and goes. Okay? We have been given authority by God, but it's easy to be hypnotized by this world and by the way we were raised and by other people's examples and get hypnotized to thinking we don't have the full access and power that God has actually given to us. So we need to be stirred up and reminded on who we are and what he has done for us and how good God is, that he's worthy of our praise, that we should rejoice before him constantly because he has delivered us and set us free. Amen. I always give this example, and it just helps me so very, very much, is that think of it like a storm or weather that is not beautiful, okay? Windy and cloudy and cold or rainy or snowy or frozen, whatever. Weather that you don't like to be around. And when that weather is so thick and terrible and horrendous, and you're complaining because it's miserable, if you were to get into an airplane and fly up above the clouds, the sun is shining perfectly, and it never stops. The sun's attitude towards the earth has never changed. It always sheds its light and its warmth on us. Amen? So God is the same way. He never changes. He always is good. He is always with us. He has always fulfilled his word. You can trust that. It's just the storms of our lives we get under. And then we believe that's what reality is like because that's what my physical experience is being, right? But the truth of the matter is, it's a beautiful day if you just get the altitude you need. Amen? So I want to look at a couple of things because when I tell you that we need to be aggressive against these things, the pain, the influence of the enemy, whatever the trouble is, that sometimes we can think that we're the ones that have to make it happen. We're going to make the devil leave because we're so tough. We're going to make the pain leave because we are so militant about it in this aggressive, hostile type of overtaking it. And that's not the case. What we're militant in is the reality of the truth. Does that make sense? There's no fight in it. There's no, you've got to be angry. There is an anger, but we aren't angry against other people. We're aggressively against the devil and the stuff that's trying to be on us. Does that make sense? I hope I'm conveying that it doesn't depend on you or me. It depends on us believing God. Right? And so here's one of the things. Sometimes when we're trying to pray against something, we're thinking maybe I don't have the power. I don't see the results. You know, maybe I'm not in God's will, or maybe I have sin in my life so it has a right to stay. Amen? And sometimes that stuff stops us from being really as serious about this thing as we should be. Okay? Comes in with this little voice and tries to take us out. I want to look at a couple of things. Just to stir you up and give you some hope in all of this. And in 1 Corinthians, I love this in 1 Corinthians. So in your Bibles, go with me from 1 Corinthians verse 20. We're going to read 20, 21, and 22. 2 Corinthians verse 1, 20. 21 and 22. For all the promises of God in him, those are the promises of God that are in God, are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Let's look at this a little bit and let's talk about this. So, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. It's not, well, maybe if you meet my conditions, then you can have it. Or maybe if you don't fall short, then you can have it. Or maybe if you haven't sinned, then you can have it. No. Every promise of God is yes to you and me. Straight up, yes, and amen. In other words, so be it. It is done. It's a guarantee. You can trust on it. It's firm what I'm saying. Amen. You can rely that this is the truth. So God's promises for us are yes. And that's just straight up the way it is. But look at this. To the glory of who? And how? To the glory of God through us. That's what's so exciting. God receives glory, and glory is his radiant splendor. It's his point of view. It's his way of looking at things. It's also praise and dignity. So in other words, God is added to by you and I believing him and shining as brightly as we possibly can. That is good news. Every promise of God is given to us. And the more we walk in it, the more we live it out, the more we trust him for it and exercise it, the more we bring him glory. He gets through us owning it. Are you with me? This is really, really exciting. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has. Now, has is one of those words. Does that mean when we get to heaven? When does that mean? When is has? Yesterday, or the day before that, or the year before that, or the month before that. It's in the past. So it's already accomplished. So in other words, it says here that now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Are you anointed?
Yes.
Let's say that. I'm anointed. God anointed me. Thank you, Lord. Is that the truth? That's the truth. That's the truth. And you know what anointing means? Anointing's a great word. The first anointing I ever saw in my life, I was the one that anointed. I was a kid. I was maybe 10 years old, and I anointed. It was my first time. I was pretty excited about it. I got a brand new baseball mitt for my birthday, and I anointed it with oil. And I rubbed that oil into that glove, and I massaged that leather, and I got me a baseball and stuck it inside that glove and had my mom run over it a couple of times with the car to get that pocket in there just right, you know? And that glove got to be so soft and flexible, and it fit my hand so perfectly. To anoint something is to smear or rub onto and into. Are you with me? So that's what anointing is. Here's another anointing. Maybe you guys have seen this anointing. You ever seen your dog anoint itself? I had a dog, and my dog loved running out into the park, finding some stinky dead thing laying in the grass, and would run down and put its back in there and just shake all over and roll all in it and just rub that thing all over itself, and it would stink so bad that dog would come home just as happy as it could possibly be. Ah, look what I smell like. Oh, isn't this great? Don't you just love me? Look at how good I smell right now. And that dog, ah, it was anointed with that stink. Amen. So anointing doesn't depict what it is. It's a process. It's a rubbing or smearing something on something else, right? It can also be the setting into an office, a position. When you're anointed for something, you're given a position for something. Amen? And that's another thing that anointing is used for, is for giving somebody a position. So, it's actually translated Creo, C-H-R-I-O, and it is to anoint, to consecrate, consecrating Jesus to the messianic office and furnishing him with the necessary powers for its administration, or enduing Christians with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's being anointed. It's to rub or to smear. So God has smeared the Holy Spirit all over us. How many of y'all have of the Holy Spirit? Amen, amen. So we're smeared with the Holy Spirit, amen? Just smeared and rubbed with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this next verse. Verse 22, it says, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as what? A guarantee. So what that means to have a guarantee, it's like a real estate contract. It's a down payment. It's an earnest money agreement. It is that I'm going to give you a taste of something that I'm going to fill you with completely. So he has given us a down payment, a deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and has sealed it. Now, being sealed means what? Go ahead, anybody shout it out. You out there, shout it out too. I can hear you. Right, to be sealed is to be absolutely contained and encapsulated, right? When you seal an envelope, the letter stays inside of the envelope. When you seal some preserves, right? When you seal preserves, remember, you put the wax in there, you heat it, double boil it, and seals that stuff right up. And how long is it good for? It is good until the seal is broken, right? It is good until the seal is broken. And so the thing that a seal does is it preserves you. It contains you. It also stamps you. It's also a stamp, a signet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by us getting the Holy Spirit, he doesn't leak out. He doesn't leave us. He's always going to be with me, even in the thunderstorms. He's going to be with you, even in the thunderstorms. So now let me ask you, if it is winter and the clouds are covering the sky and the snow is coming down and it is dark with just frigid cold, do you say that the sun has left you? Do you even think for one second that the sun has vanished away? Why? Because you know, you've seen it enough times, you know, if you're alive, the sun is up there. If the sun wasn't there, you wouldn't be here. Amen? You can't live without it. Same with the Holy Spirit and with the presence of God. If you're still breathing, he's still with you. That's just a fact. So no matter what our circumstances are against us, the fact is that God is blessed by us walking in his promises. And they're always yes, absolutely. God is blessed. Glorified by us walking in that he actually has already anointed us and sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And that is a guarantee whether you accept it as your reality or not. But here's the thing, it's real and true. We have to walk it out. It's up to us to believe him. So by that anointing that abides in me and you, and by the Holy Spirit that has been deposited in us as a guarantee that one day the day star will shine in our hearts and we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And all the things that is in this world that we've been calling real and it's so important to us is going to vanish away like as if you woke up from a dream. And the dream, you'll know you had a dream, but it is not the real anymore. The real is going to be the life and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ beaming forth from you when your earthly body is transformed into his glorious body. Are you with me? And the Holy Spirit is your absolute guarantee that that's going to happen to you. Should you remain on the earth at that exciting day when he appears in the sky. Amen? So, knowing that that is all true, we can with confidence stand against the devil. We can with confidence stand against any sickness or disease. We can with confidence come against any form of oppression or anxiety or fear that is trying to get onto us with confidence. Amen? Because the sun is always shining, because the Spirit of God is always with me. So, what if you live in a place like Portland, Oregon? I love Portland, Oregon. I lived there for 20 years. I don't like what's going on in Portland, Oregon right now, but I enjoyed living in Portland for 20 years. But you know what I had happen in Portland? It is easy to get depressed. Even though there's lots of adventures and lots of things to do and trees and mountains and snow and rivers and oceans and everything, it rains a lot. It rains a lot. And the skies are gray. And if you're in Seattle, it's even worse. I think they get like 52 days of sunshine a year. Okay? It's hard to be reminded that the sun is always shining when you rarely get to see it. Amen? So, the more you live in a place where the sun is always shining or shines more frequently, the easier it is to enjoy the day, the warmth of the day. So if you're living in a place where the sun doesn't shine, and I'm talking emotionally and spiritually now, not geographically, then you need to move. You need to decide you've had enough and that you are not going to live here anymore. And if fear has been something that has been troubling you for a period of time, or anxiety has been troubling you for a period of time, or if pain has been troubling you for a period of time, it is time for you to decide to move and to get to where the sun always shines, to make it easier on yourself. So how do we do that? Go backwards in your Bible with me, and I want to look at a couple of the Gospels, okay? Let's look in Mark right now. Pastor Trey's been teaching on the parables of the kingdom of God for 16 weeks coming up here, 15 or 16 weeks, and it's been excellent. And here's one of the parables that he brought to light, and I'd like to just remind you of it, and that's going to be in verse 30 of chapter 4. And this is the parable of the mustard seed. Now, I know you all have heard about mustard seed faith, have you not? What's the general idea of mustard seed faith? You only need a little, right? There was some kind of commercial that says, aren't you old enough to know what dippity-doo is? Some of you ladies, and some of you don't know, okay? But the ladies know, and even Bruce knows, dippity-doo was like the first mousse that ever existed on the planet. It was the first hair gel that I was aware of. And dippity-doo was a little jar of hair stuff that would make your hair stick up or whatever you wanted to do with your hair. And they'd say, a little dabble do ya. A little dabble do ya. Amen. And it just a little bit is all you needed, and your hair would do whatever you wanted to do. That was before spikes and all that stuff. That's old, I'm telling you. Anyway, so just a dabble do you. And in the kingdom of God, it is no difference. When it comes to our faith, it's no difference. So I want to read verse 31 and 32. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? So he says, I'm going to give you a story. I'm going to tell you about this. And so I want you to picture so you can kind of understand kind of how the kingdom of God works. He says, it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown into the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Just a dabble, do you? But when it is sown in the ground, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So the kingdom of God, all you need is a little mustard seed of faith. All you need to know is that it's true. Just a little bit. And when you get a little bit of the kingdom of God inside of you, the kingdom of God will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the bigger the kingdom of God gets inside of you, the more you're going to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life. The more you're going to see giftings in your life, the more revelation that's going to come to you, and the more identity transformation is going to take place, because God's the one that gives the increase, is he not? One can sow, another one of plant, another one can water, but God gives the increase, Corinthians says. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. God will make it bigger inside of you. All we have to do is believe him. Step out in faith and just go for it. Are you with me? So, Pastor Trey said this many, many times, and he's not the first one to say it, and I believe it also. How is faith activated? It's voice activated. Everybody say that. Faith is voice activated. Are you with me? Faith is voice activated. And when you have faith, guess what? You have corresponding actions that come with it. You will do whatever you believe is true. You will. However you say it's true, you're going to manifest that truth. So to say you believe God that you're anointed but never pray for anybody, do you really believe you're anointed? Do you really believe the Holy Spirit's with you if you never share the life of God with other people? So we need this little seed of faith, this little bit of the kingdom of God that's inside of us to grow up to be the biggest portion of who we are. Because then you know what happens? The birds of the air can start resting in your branches. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. How do I say this? Help, Holy Spirit, help. Okay, another Robertism. Okay, I am not saying this is absolutely true for everybody on the planet, but I'm saying it seems pretty true. All right, and that's this. If you're trapped in darkness and in outside of the covering of God, which none of you are, that I don't think any of you guys are, but if someone is trapped on the outside of the covering of God, out into the world and out into the devil's territory, and that darkness is enslaving them, the sharks can smell that like blood in the water. The demons know that fragrance, know that sound, and know that look, and they come a-running to do whatever they can to kill, steal, and destroy and ruin your life and break you down because you're not under the sun. You're not in the light of God. You're not under the covering. You're out in your own thing. Not you guys, those other people. But when faith has come into your heart and you come into the presence of God and you spend time in the presence of God, now your faith is increasing and the kingdom of God is increasing inside of you. Guess who you attract now? What's the opposite of demons? There you go. I knew somebody knew the answer. Heavenly assistance starts hanging around you. Angels start hanging around you. Ministers of God start hanging around you. Supernatural created beings and critters and all the things of heaven that our natural eyes can't see to aid and assist us in the kingdom of God start hanging around us more and more and more because the faith of the kingdom is increasing inside of us and they can rest under the shade of that because we are now manifesting the things that the kingdom of God is manifesting. Are you with me? So, there's another verse, I don't know where it is right at this minute, but the flesh, the dead flesh, the birds of the air circle that dead flesh. That's the demonic stuff. But the birds of the air that come under the shade of our trees of the kingdom of God are the angelic stuff. So now we're having supernatural assistance with us at the same time we're manifesting the things of the kingdom of God. And it just starts growing bigger and bigger, and we get better and better results, and we start seeing more and more manifestations, so much so that when you walk into the room, the presence of God is in that room, and people know it. So much so that the glory of God is in you and on you that you literally start lighting up to people who have eyes to see that. It's a truth. It's really true. And when you walk into a room when people are filled with darkness, there's no doubt they know you are filled with light. There's no doubt about it because the Spirit of God is in you. And we need to be the light in the world. Nobody, it says here in Mark chapter 4, let me just read it with you. Go to verse 21, just go up a little bit in that chapter. It says, also, he has said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So as we get just a little bit of the kingdom of God through you hearing me, seeing me, hearing the word, reading the word, getting revelation by the Holy Spirit, the more that you have it, the more light you're going to have to shine. And we don't hide that light under a basket or under a bed, do you? Why do you have a light on in the house? So you can see in the dark places, right? So the truth of the matter is that we have to let the kingdom of God shine from us and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit so that those that live in darkness can see the light. Does that make sense? We need to be the light. You can't be light unless you are light. You can't pretend to be light. You can't mentally ascend to having light. You have to be light. And when you are light, you shine. So you need the kingdom of God in you, and it needs to grow up bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you shine so brightly that even the demons cry out when you walk in the room. They can't stand being around you. Another story. Okay, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but one of my relatives, they watch this stuff, so I can't name any of my relatives, okay? There was a time years ago when one of my relatives was caught up in some bad stuff, okay? They had a little bit of addictions. They had a lot of darkness in their life. They had really emotional duress going on a regular basis. And some really horrific things were happening in their life because of the way they thought and believed about themselves. And it was bad. It was really bad. And we were having a time when we were all getting together in the house for some reason or another. So we all came from wherever we live, and we were all visiting my mom. They're all together in the house, just talking and doing what people do when they're fellowshipping. And I walk in the room. I walk in the room. All I did was walk in to the room. Not a word, not a look. I just walked in the room. And this relative looks straight at me, and everyone's talking, everybody stops, and this relative looks at me and says, "Don't you judge me." I'm going, what the heck just happened? I just walked in the room. Why? Because they were so enslaved in that stuff that just the Holy Spirit in me walking into that room convicted that darkness. Amen? I didn't do anything. Well, I want to let you know, that relative and I are very close right now, and we are seeing real life of God coming out of that person now because of the transformation. That love, just keep loving, just keep washing in love, just keep loving. Holy Spirit with them, just teaching them and showing them. And it's really growing good now. The one person I didn't think would ever be in heaven, I actually believe they'll be in heaven now. Okay? Not that I'm the one that decides if they are, but you know how you kind of like wonder if certain relatives are going to be there? That was one I was concerned about. So, this measure or this scoop that God uses, who determines how big it is? Who said that? That's right. It's you. You and me. We decide what measure the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is going to happen in our lives. We get to decide that. Because whatever measure we use, it will be measured back to us, right? I can start spouting off all kinds of verses to you. And it's just forgive and you'll be forgiven. Condemn, you'll be condemned. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will men give unto your bosom. It's a law. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, judge not lest you be judged. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again, right? And here it says the same thing. So it's a principle of God. We do not have to wait for God to give us more anointing, more of his presence, more of his light and life. He doesn't decide how much we walk in. You know why? Because he gave it all to us. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Are we sealed? Yes. Are we anointed? Yes. Is God glorified by us manifesting his promises on the earth? Yes. So who decides how much of God's light shines out of me? I do. By how much I believe God and I walk it out. So when these pains don't leave, when this fear tries to glom onto me, when the anxiety is circling around me like a buzzard, who decides how long that's going to remain in my body or in my mind or in my life? I do, and you do. Amen? But we have to be bold against it. We have to, and I don't mean angry. I mean matter of fact. Does that make the difference? Do you understand the difference between this? When somebody's mind is made up, when it's really made up, it's actually finished. You know what? There's no change in it. Once their mind is done, it's over. I'll let you know. In relationships, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. People do the bickering thing and they do the whatever and the relationships are hard. But when one of those people decide this relationship is over and it is done, it doesn't matter. It's over. No matter what the other person wants, this one's finished and it's over, right? So no matter how much that pain wants to stay, no matter how much the fear wants to be around you, no matter if it's the anxiety wants to circle around your head, whatever the thing is, when you find out that I am the one that makes the difference and I stand against that thing, guess what? It's over. Once you have completely made your mind up that this thing will not remain in my body, you will make it go. You will. Now, it might take you a while, like we talked about last time I was speaking here, is it might take you a while. You might have to figure out a few things. You might have to get a strategy on how you're going to take this thing out. But as you do, and the light increases, and the more you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the more you're believing God and exercising your faith and practicing, and going after it, guess what? It will definitely leave. It absolutely will. But it takes us really exercising our true confidence that we are who God says we are and that we have what he says he's given us. Amen? So, Beijing, you got that little thing that I gave you? That little thing that came in the card. What does it say? I'm going to let her just shout it out real quick. Maybe you guys will hear it. I'll repeat it when she gets done. What does it say? Oh, she didn't read it. Okay. I'm going to tell you guys what it says then. It says, it's a little sticker from Andrew Womack Ministries that you can stick on your mirror. It's not actually a sticker. It's like just a piece of plastic that's through static electricity, a clinging piece of plastic. It says, look who Jesus loves. And you stick it on your mirror, okay? You guys have seen those or heard of those? I'll tell you, we need to be reminded regularly, look who Jesus loves and who I am in the Spirit. We need to get in the mirror sometimes and just start saying, you are anointed. You are a son or daughter of the Most High. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the blessings of God. And just start speaking to that person in the mirror the real truth to remind ourselves who we are. Because if you're not getting the results in the beginning, it's because it doesn't believe you yet. That's why it hasn't gone yet. You've got to know that you have the authority. You've got to know that you are anointed. You've got to know that it is your gift from God to walk in this stuff. Amen. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. When I keep myself built up in the Holy Spirit, I see lots more results than if I let the world bombard my mind and sweep me away and I get caught up in busyness and responsibilities and I don't spend the time in the Word or with God or renewing my mind. Then when I go to pray for somebody, that's when I feel like wax has gone cold on me, you know? And now it's like, Holy Spirit, it's none of me. It's got to be all you now. And guess what? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But when I'm in agreement with God and we're working together in this, my faith with his anointing, we see a lot better results. Can any of you guys say the same thing? Here's another thing. When two or more of us gather together in his name and come against something, guess what? It works a lot better to get it done that way too. Tag team it, you know? My faith, your faith, and pretty soon it just leaves or it heals or it does whatever it is you're commanding it to do because we're going out in teams. Didn't Jesus send the 70 out that way? This is yes. He did. He sent the 70 out that way in tag teams so that they can be there together with one another. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to remind you of something. Where was that at, Lord? Let me just look while I'm doing this. When Jesus was out on the boat, he shouted peace to the storm, right? You guys know where that parable is? Is that Mark 4, 2? Is it the next verse, next part? Yeah, there it is. Thank you. It's just the end of Mark 4. I knew I had just read it. I just didn't remember where I read it from. This is what I want you to look at. Ready? So I'm going to just start. You guys know the story. He rebuked the wind and the wave. But here's what I want you to see. Verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to it, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Verse 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So just let's picture this before we read on. Jesus was dumbfounded that when he rebuked the waves and the wind, that they were caught off guard. Jesus was, it's like, duh. Why? Because he knew what? That he was the Son of God. God was his Father, right? So if God's the creator of everything, then aren't you over the everything you created? Absolutely. So then, Jesus was saying, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And look what they said. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Can you see the two mindsets? One is an earthly person with no power who's a victim under the things of this world. The other one is the Son of God who is over the things of this world. So when you command something, are you under it or are you over it? You need to think this through in your own life as you're growing as a son or daughter in the kingdom of God. When you're praying for the pain to leave, are you a victim of the pain or are you the authority over the pain? Only you know in your heart. It's where you're positioning yourself in your heart. Okay? Jesus was dumbfounded that they weren't coming from the same perspective he was coming from. They were utterly amazed that how can men do this kind of thing? They were under in the darkness. Their eyes were dull. Their hearts were blind. Their ears were closed. And Jesus was coming from a place of being victorious. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's a fact. We're anointed. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It glorifies God that we would shine as brightly as we possibly can, to be the most that we can be, so that we are transformed ourselves from darkness into light. So now we're no longer children of the darkness, we're children of the light, right? And that the light shines from us. The way we walk that out is by exercising our faith. Faith without works is just as dead as a body is without the spirit. Are you with me? The life of faith has to have works. Faith has to, it has to be manifested. Does that make sense? It can't just be something you hold in your mind. It has to be manifested. It has to have an outlet. So we have to be praying for people. We have to be speaking against these things. We have to find, where is my authority at right now? What's my metron? What's my measure of rule? What do I get success at? Where is my success that I really have? Some of you, it might be over your pets and your dog obeys you, and that's about as far as it goes. Some of you, you might have people in your life that you're in charge of. And if you're in charge of those people, then they do what you tell them to do. So some of you might have jobs where you're a manager or something like that, and then there's lots of people that do what you tell them to do. Just like the centurion. He understood with Jesus that if Jesus would speak, Jesus' birds of the air that were resting underneath his shade would do what he commands. And therefore, he knew that his servant would be healed. Right? He says, I am a man of authority. I have 100 guys that do what I tell them to do. He was a centurion, a 100. So he understood that. You're the same and I'm the same. But we have to be consistently activating our faith and exercising our authority, no matter where it is. In the little things and in the many things, and then it gets bigger and bigger and grander to the big things. Are you with me? This is authority faith. I'm not talking about a gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about authority faith. Faith because you're the son or daughter of God, not because you have a single gift from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Amen. So I would just encourage you guys to practice, practice, practice. Stir yourself up. Speak to that person in the mirror and tell them how awesome they are and go for it. So do a little test. I tell people this all the time. Do a little test. Find something and speak to it and see what happens. All right, I'll give you some simple things you can test, all right? Here's some simple things. You can get two little plants. Put one plant here and one plant there. Give it the same amount of light and water. Tell one, you're so beautiful, I love you, you produce such beautiful flowers or fruits, I'm so blessed that you are here in my home with me, growing and flourishing. You're a good plant. I love you, plant. And take another plant and say, I curse you. I hate you, plant. You're the ugliest plant. You're never going to become anything. You're never going to bear fruit or flowers. You're a waste of dirt. Someone should cut you down and rip you up by the roots. I know that's hard to do as a born-again believer. But I'll tell you what, this plant will dry up and die with the same amount of light and water, and this plant will flourish and grow. Why? Because your words are real. They create and they destroy. And they really, truly do. If you don't want to do it with plants, you can do it with, you can get an apple and cut an apple in half and take one half, stick it in a plastic bag, take the other half, stick it in a plastic bag, curse one, bless the other, and watch the one you curse rot way worse than the one you bless. You can do it with anything. You have the power out of your mouth to bless and to curse. You have the authority to command demons to leave because you're over that realm. Isn't this exciting stuff? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. This is exciting stuff. But getting out and doing it, amen. Don't look at yourself. Look at God. Amen. And let's manifest these things. Did you get anything good today? Me too. Me too. Let's go find somebody to pray for. Amen. Does anybody need prayer? If you do, we'll be up here and we will definitely pray for you. Amen. The rest of you, I'm just going to pray right now and we'll just close. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word made flesh. That you, we can trust in and rely on. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the words in this book, Father, that we can trust and rely on them. And that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by letting this stuff go deep inside of us and being changed by it, Lord. I ask that you give everybody that can hear my voice right now opportunities, Lord, to bless, to speak, to command, and to see the results, Lord, and to stay at it and stay at it until they increase more and more and more, until the idea of who they are grows so deeply inside of them that their roots grow deep. And the branches grow big and strong, that the kingdom of God takes up all the territory and space within them, Lord, that they would truly know that they are sons and daughters of the Most High and manifest your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.